News. I'm Danny Obrey. Nima Machouf, one of the Canadians aboard a flotilla carrying aid to Gaza that was intercepted by the Israeli Navy, returned to Montreal this Sunday. Her husband and a crowd of activists greeted her at the airport. Machouf told the press that Israel had subjected her and other activists to humiliation, aggression, and torture by way of sleep deprivation while they were in custody. She also called for a secure corridor to get aid to Gaza and Canada in order to end trade with Israel that endangers Palestinians. Heavy rains and flooding claimed the lives of at least 64 people in Mexico last week. The storms heavily impacted five states within the country, leaving approximately 263,000 citizens without power and damaged 100,000 homes in total. The Mexican Army and the National Guard have been deployed throughout these states in order to distribute food and clean water to those in need. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum has faced questions about Mexico's alert system, stating that there was no indication that the rainfalls would be this impactful. Governors of the affected states are doing their best to collaborate with President Sheinbaum, as 65 citizens remain missing. Iconic actress Diane Keaton died in her home in California on Saturday due to prolonged health issues. Born Diane Hall in 1946 in Los Angeles, she took up acting for the first time in her early 20s, starring in Broadway productions such as Hair and Played Again Sam. She would later star in hit films such as Annie Hall, Father of the Bride, and First Wives Club, but was best known for portraying Kay Adams Corleone in the Godfather film series. Throughout her career, she won awards, one BAFTA award, and an Oscar. Diane Keaton is survived by her daughter Dexter and her son Duke. She was 79 years old. For more information, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back
to Death of the Mirror.
Death of the Mirror. We are back, people.
We are back in business.
So happy to be back.
I'm very happy to be back.
So happy to be back, man.
It's been a good happy Thanksgiving to those who celebrate.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't Thanksgiving, you know, I hope you had a good break if you had one.
Hope you had a good Monday.
Hope you had a good Monday, man.
Yeah.
We're officially back live.
In the studio. On this cloudy,
a bit gloomy. It's a bit gloomy. I hate to be negative.
But no, the weather's undecided today. It doesn't know what it wants to be yet. And I respect that.
Wow, that was like, it's like a kindergartner answering, like,
I do.
I think the weather is undecided.
How you feeling today, Maximilian?
I feel good. I'm tired. I'm wearing a turtleneck.
I love it, by the way. Really, really good look on you.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about our topics today.
So excited.
We are going to... We didn't even introduce ourselves again.
God, man. I'm sorry, people. We get so excited to be in the booth.
We get so excited to be here that we forget that we have names and that we host a show that's called Death of the Midrange on CJLO.
We love to sing it,
6090.
Introduce it, you know.
Yeah, and my name is Maximilian Calinescu,
and I'm Libas Sigoela Diallo, and Max is gonna tell you guys what we're gonna talk about today.
Max is gonna say,
yeah,
that we're talking about way too early NBA award predictions.
Yeah,
is it way too early?
Yes. Oh my God,
it is. The season begins tomorrow.
Yeah.
Woo!
So happy.
You know,
I mean, and I had, you know. The season begins tomorrow, and I had a little thought, you know, throughout our research. Guys, let's enjoy this season. I mean, I'm being for real. A lot of our legends are getting up there. You know,
right?
Chris Paul's 40.
Bro just wants to talk about how LeBron's gonna retire.
I mean, LeBron's. I mean, like a lot of our, you know, this might be the last year or you know, or so before our legends kind of get old and stop playing. So we gotta enjoy it, guys. Please tune in tomorrow. Tune in the whole season. It's gonna be a really good season.
I think we decided on what we want the catchphrase, whatnot, or the ethos of this show to be, and that's watch basketball.
Yeah.
Right. Watch basketball.
Shout out to Kenny Beecham. Enjoy basketball as well. That's
right.
That's
my yeah, we're totally just stealing them. No. But it's watch basketball.
Don't sue us, Kenny. Don't sue us.
Don't sue us, Kenny.
But yeah, today we're talking about rookie of the year, coach of the year, most improved player of the year,
sixth man of the year,
MVP,
DPOY,
and yeah, we
and also all NBA teams.
All NBA.
Which is essentially just a top 15 list. Like
basically, it's like almost unofficial right? kind of top 15 list. But, you know, again, just like last week, no games. We're going to jump right into it. I hope you are sitting in your car, walking outside.
On the street.
In work, and we're so happy for you to be with us.
Yes, thank you. As we all hold each other's hands together here spiritually, take a breath.
Alrighty.
Welcome to Monday, guys.
It's going to be a great week. All right. What do you want to start with?
Let's do Coach of the Year.
Yeah, Coach of the Year.
Award that... I looked at the betting odds because I put Mark Daigneault as my number one.
Yeah,
but,
which makes sense.
But I think he won it the last 2 years. No?
Did he win it last year? He won it last year, for sure. He didn't win it the last 2 years.
Who won it then in that? Because OKC went from lottery to playoffs because they were the second seed. So it was Mark Daigneault twice, no?
It could have been, yeah. It could have been.
Either that or it was that season. No, because Mike Brown, the Sacramento Kings, they didn't do that.
But he won it like, yeah.
I think it was the year before that because that was when, it could have been Mike Brown.
I think it was Kenny Atkinson. Yeah, it was Kenny Atkinson the year before, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Which is kind of crazy. Actually, you know what? The Cavs went crazy, yeah. So it makes sense.
But usually, I mean, it's either the best coach on the best team,
yeah,
or like, you know, the coach on the best team, or, you know, Cinderella stories.
Yeah.
JB Bickerstaff was in heavy consideration last year for the Pistons.
So do you want me to give you my top three?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Starting with my three,
mm-hmm.
I have Chauncey Billups.
Okay.
And I have brackets if they make the playoffs.
Yeah. Right? As we saw last week, I predicted them.
I want to apologize to every single Portland Trail Blazers fan because for some reason, I kind of just wanted to talk about the Pelicans, sure. So I put them on my list. I'll make every excuse in the book.
Unprofessional.
Yeah, unprofessional. It feels like it. Portland is going to be the 10th or 9th seed. I don't know why I put the Pelicans over them, but... You know what? We live and we learn.
I agree.
I like how 1 week has passed, and I'm like, yeah, we live and we learn, guys. Yeah. Like, you know, we all make mistakes, you know? But
I like the Chauncey pick. I have him as my number two.
Okay. Because at my number two, I have Mike Brown, which is...
Wow. First-year coach? Wow.
And I think because if they secure... he will be coach of the year.
Which we predicted 2 weeks ago.
That yes, the Knicks they would be the first seed. And then at number one, I have Jamal Mosley.
Me too.
Because not only do the betting odds say that he will be coach of the year, which is not like a great metric. It just means what kind of the public... It's a bit of a consensus pick.
Yeah.
Like, you know, saying that he isn't the consensus pick. Like, the consensus has drawn to that. I think... If Orlando is the three seed and they have a top three offense and a top three defense, which is a lot.
Defense, I'll stand with you. Offense, if they can just
top crack. Top five, maybe.
If they just crack the
you
top 10.
You think top 10 will get them at coach of the year?
They haven't cracked top 10 in like 30-something years.
Yeah, sorry. Top three was way. I meant to say top five.
Yeah, but, like, you know, if they. But I have Jamal Mosley too because. It's like, as you say, it's like it's in the same kind of wavelength as we've been saying.
Yeah.
We are both we love their offseason. Even for the other kind of awards, you know, a lot of Orlando players are going to be considered.
Because what were they last year? Were they they weren't the sixth seed,
were they? Were the seventh seed. But they started off really strong, and then they got all these injuries. But
right, because they played the Cavs. So they were the
They played the Celtics. They lost to the Celtics.
They did. Yeah, I'm thinking of the year prior.
I think it just makes sense. Jamal Mosley has really taken this group to a whole nother level. He's been able to accommodate the Banquero and the Paolo and France pairing. And,
yeah, stick to first names, buddy.
I think if he just sticks kind of on that path and they're competitive, I think he's the obvious, you know, kind of choice. Even voters fatigue. I have Mark Daigneault as my third because I still think that the Thunder are going to be really, really good.
Oh, I think they're going to win 70 games.
And like, just like, you know, just to be a bit boring, I put him at third. But, you know, I have Jamal Mosley first, Chauncey Billups second. Totally agree. There's something about a coach that's so involved and so outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ever since the summer, he's really talked in depth about every addition, about every... And just his media presence already has, you know, kind of our eye focused on the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
I feel like he's brought a lot of attention on his squad. And I think that's what could make him be coach of the year eventually, because you see him being involved. And if just the Trailblazers can be relevant again and push for a playoff spot, then it's no-brainer that he's in.
That's what I was going to say. Honestly, if they pass the eyeball test of like, oh, the Trailblazers look good.
Which they have in preseason, in my opinion.
Because if they just look good, I think he's in the running for coach of the year.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's got to materialize into...
Well, if they get the ninth seed and the team looks competitive and they, let's say they take down OKC in one game and they take down the Rockets.
In one game, folks. Not the whole series, please. Yeah.
No, like if they beat, not like in the playoffs, but just like in general, if they take games from top teams without it kind of anybody flinching, going like, whoa, like they, well, actually, if you went, whoa, you probably would be flinching. But if it was, you know, if they beat OKC season out of four games, right?
Mm.
That would be a huge accomplishment for them.
For sure.
And that would, to me, be like, okay, yeah, maybe they deserve some more accolades like Coach of the Year. Because they're not going to get an MVP. They might get DPOY with either Klingon or Kamara.
Consideration,
like, that's what I mean, right? Like, they might make an all-defensive team, but that's about it.
Just in the honorable mentions, I had Rick Carlisle and Missoula kind of in the same bracket.
Actually, that, yeah.
Because I read an article.
Same here.
I read an article about how Mazzulla is an amazing coach, but has never really gotten the credit, quote unquote, because he's always had a really stacked team, right? And people weren't ready to really give him that credit. This year is the perfect year to prove it. He has literally now no all-stars on his team, almost no all-stars.
Well, Jaylen Brown, finals MVP, conference MVP.
But you look at the rest of the roster, as we said, you know, it's really bad. And so I think this is really the year where he could really prove his worth. And I don't think he has to, but I think he could really.
Did you see the coach versus media?
Yeah. 54-6 or something
like that. No, it
was 54-4.
Yeah, so
love him. He's such
a coaches. The coaches were sick of the Celtics media talking trash about them. So the coaches played the media.
Yeah.
In like a 20-minute game.
I've seen that.
The coaches had, I think it was 57-4.
Yeah, and they didn't let him cross half court like for the first 20 possession or something like that.
Yeah, and the coaches were hitting like half court threes.
It's because they're like all old pro and like old, like, you know, kind of college guys.
Yeah, it was so funny because Joe Mazzulla went up to the podium and was like, yeah, yeah.
Y'all not playing each other today. Because usually the tradition is media playing media amongst themselves on the practice training grounds. And he was like, no, y'all playing us today.
Yeah.
Hey, suit up. And it didn't matter gender, height, weight, it didn't matter. They were full court pressing everybody.
Like, they got cooked.
But yeah, I think definitely consideration for him. And then the last name I had was Adelman, from the Nuggets.
Yeah, he was in my head for. I wanted to put him at two, but I thought that honestly, if the Knicks get Mike Brown, has a better shot.
For sure. I mean, first year coach would be really impressive for him to just.
Well,
like,
it's the same. It's almost the same thing with Rick Adelman.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he played last year, but
six games last year, and then in the playoffs.
Yeah, but well, yeah,
or it was 11 or something. I don't know.
But yeah, I think Coach of the Year is kind of like straightforward. It's not the most exciting thing, of course.
Yeah, and I think it often Coach of the Year, it kind of looks more at just at the team as in general. If the team was good and you were like, he's a good coach, that's enough for people to vote that.
Yeah, because even if you look at the GM surveys, I mean, Eric Spoelstra has trampled the competition every year as the best coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
And yet he hasn't won a coach of the year in a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's team success.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think we're going to just do a quick ad break.
Quick little addy break.
And then we will get to six man.
The real stuff.
Actually, just all the rest.
All the rest.
All the rest.
All right. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Dun, 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 dun. Welcome, salutations, and various forms of greetings, friends. My name is Mr. Billets. And when I'm not enjoying good ragtime music and tap dancing, I like to listen to Great A Explosives on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM. Now here's some kind of a cover of Frank Sinatra by a metal band. Take that, Hitler!
Prepare for the fright of your life, because this Halloween, Ballroom is taking you sinners to church.
Spooky! Godfather Silver Old Navy and Auntie Mag's Old Navy present the What the Halloween Kiki Ball. It'll be a spooktastic night of tricks, treats, and vogue, Miss Thing. Looking to satiate your ghoulish cravings? Auntie D's Kitchen will be serving up their famous patties, refreshments, and, for one night only, a special Halloween platter. And they're not the only ones it up, honey, with paranormal performance, fearsome fashion, and creepy creations never before seen. It'll be a night to die for. We've got Moonstar 007 and Mag's Old Navy on MC duty, and Father Cherry KFC on the decks. Join us on Friday, October 31st at 6 p.m. in the St. Edward Church basement at 425 Beaubien East for a Halloween you'll never forget. For more information on tickets and event details, follow the Montreal Kiki Ballroom Alliance on socials at MTL_KBA. CGLO is a proud partner / co-presenter of the What the Halloween Kiki Ball.
What the Halloween? Be spooky or get spooked.
These ads are getting crazy nowadays.
Nowadays, these youngsters just say anything.
They just say anything on the mic.
Yeah, if you're listening on Spotify or something.
Oh, we didn't even say hi to you.
Hi. You Hello. Wouldn't have understood what we just talked about because we heard an ad. Because we're live.
Do you have FOMO right now?
Do you have FOMO?
I understand. Thank you for tuning in, though, still.
Thank you for tuning in.
All right, but let's jump into the real stuff. What do we want to start with Most Improved, or do we want to start with Rookie
of
the
Year? Six Man.
Six Man? Okay.
Do Six Man, because I think, to me, like, Six Man of the Year is important, but it's so up for debate at this point that it could really be anything.
Yeah.
So I think...
It usually is. I feel like this one and Most Improved usually is anything. It's kind of your imagination if you're going
to
predict it.
I think I'm tapped into Most Improved. I think it's pretty obvious.
Ooh, wow.
So, but let's get to Six Man of the Year. I want to hear your top three.
Okay, so I had a... As I always do, I have a top four that I'm going to decide. I have a top three.
You have an honorable mention. And a top three.
I do. I have a top three. Okay, so my number three is...
Very, very interesting. I wanted to put him on my list, and I did not.
I struggled between Colin Sexton and Onyeka Okonwu, but I didn't put Onyeka because I am not wishing, but predicting that Kristaps Porzingis will not be healthy.
Yes.
So Onyeka will most likely start way too many games to be considered.
Yeah, I think that's a lot with what I was looking at is a lot of these people that I was considering might just end up starting for way too many games.
That's the thing. But Colin Sexton, obviously with the logjam at the starting guard spots in Charlotte, he will not start. And I think if Charlotte is even remotely competitive this year, he's going to play a lot and to play a lot off the bench. And you know Colin Sexton, a dog.
He's Colin Sexton.
And he's going to get
he's
you.
He's a dog. I want him on the Raptors for years, man.
And he's going to get you buckets, and he's going to get you, just a whole lot of three-pointers and a whole lot of buckets. And I think definitely he will be considered for Sixth Man of the Year. He's not my winner, though. At number two, I have the big man, the big white man, French Vanilla. I'm a number two.
Ooh, that's so good.
I think fire. I think people don't realize how good of a season he had last year.
Oh, that's fire.
And
bro.
I think playing kind of like the Bilal Coulibaly conundrum, where when you play next to Wemby, you get so much attention. I think playing next to on Wemby's team, not only next to him on the court, but also off the bench, will shine so much light on Luke Kornet that you would just have to like hand him the award.
That's a great. Great pick.
He's such a good player, and I just think he got really lost in the sauce in Boston, and people didn't really know what he was doing.
And now he's saucing people up.
And he's such a good player, and seems to be like such a good teammate. Everybody seems to have
No, that might great be my team. Favorite pick all day today.
Hold up, because you're not ready for my number one. My winner of the Sixth Man of the Year award for the 2025-2026 season is none other than Davion Mitchell.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I sat with this, kind of went back between Luka and Davion, but I think Davion last year, 10-6 with 40% from three, was maybe the Heat's best player in the playoffs last year, which is crazy to say.
Absolutely.
He was not
crazy.
You know, it wasn't even crazy. I mean,
I love Davion Mitchell.
I mean, Hero struggled like crazy. Bam, like, couldn't get anything going, and Davion was just kind of hooping. And this year he's going to come off the bench for a Heat team that might be good or whatever, play-in material. But I think he's going to put up a lot of good stats and kind of have a Ty Jerome kind of arc last year. And I definitely think he could win the award.
I hope so. The only reason I did not put Davion Mitchell on my list is I do not trust that Tyler Hero is going to be healthy.
Literally, my next point was he might start a little bit too much as well. But that, I really wanted to shout him out.
And that's really good. We have completely different lists, which is really fun.
For the A. If you've been tuned in, you know it's the first time we actually
have a completely different list.
I bet.
And I have my third as a question mark because when we look at the oldest roster in the league in the Golden State Warriors, Kuminga could start a lot.
Oh, wow.
But I have Kuminga at my three because he has a lot to prove. And if they are a decent, like I had them at seven in my rankings, right? If they could be good, and Kuminga averages like, he has the ability to average 20 points, and he has the ability to be a key contributor off the bench for this team, he could win Sixth Man of the Year. However, do I put all my faith in Kuminga? No. I just think it's a good kind of shout-out because he signed the contract this year. Like, if he can do it, he'll win it. Like,
he's been changing the way he played as well. Exactly. In the season. He's buying in. As much as the media wants to bury him, he's buying in.
Yeah, and so if – and this also hinges, like – I think spacing-wise, you do want to start Buddy Hield. I don't think you want to start Kuminga because it doesn't – you don't need him. And also, you're not going to start Quinton Post over Al Horford. Maybe you will, but you kind of want the Al Horford defense with Draymond because that's just kind of disgusting.
I mean, Steve Kerr said that he was still going back and forth with the idea of either starting Draymond at the five or putting him with another big. And also, I think Moses Moody is a better option than Buddy Hield because his shooting numbers are similar now, and he's just a better defender.
Yeah, but I think you want more options with Buddy Hield on the floor, especially with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, because Moses Moody isn't the three-point shooter that Buddy Hield is. Hence why I have Kuminga here, because if he can produce, he will win this award.
No, that's a good pick.
Right? At my two, and this is a bit... It's funny, we both have center white guys at the two, is I put Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, but he was in my shortlist.
Because if he can actually be productive as the backup for Jokic, if he can be, like, I don't know what it was last year, but on the floor, on average, Nuggets were outscoring teams by 9.3 points.
Yeah, outscored, yeah.
Without Jokic on the floor,
they
were getting outscored by 10.3 points. Mm-hmm. Do I think Jonas Valanciunas is the solution to that? No. I think he can
help.
I think he can just help because they haven't had a big for so long to back up Jokic that's been like a good big. If you have a rebounder, you have an offensive threat, like you just have someone, right? And if he can be really effective in those non-Jokic minutes, he will be in contention for this award. Do I think he's going to win? No. But I think he's worth shouting out because I think it's...
It's a great pick.
It's you know, it's Jonas Valanciunas.
So who's the big winner?
I don't know how you're going to feel, but I'm really high on this guy. Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, wow.
Because he is exactly what the Knicks need, right? They needed someone not Thibodeau right now. So you're not going to play the starters a million years. Yeah. But in the non-Brunson, non-Cat minutes, you need someone who's going to be comfortable scoring in isolation and without running plays for. Jordan Clarkson.
It's literally such a straightforward pick.
He is a bucket. He will score 20 points.
He is the sixth man.
He is the sixth man. He is the closest thing to Lou Will or Jamal Crawford that we have.
Yeah.
As like a six-man player. He is a bit old style with more, you know, like less threes, more just buckets. But honestly, you look at it. Knicks number one seed.
No,
Jordan Clarkson scores 18 to 19, maybe 20 points off the bench.
Everything makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
It's his award. So that's like, I think, I don't want to spend too much more time on the sixth man of the year, but that's
I like it.
I think it makes sense.
All right. Pretty straightforward to me, man.
Do you agree? Give your opinion right now. Ah, too late.
All
right.
Well, we're moving on, unfortunately.
Most improved. Do you want to start or... Because I just yapped for a while.
No, do you want to go 1-1? We can go one. Like,
okay, who's your honorable mention?
My honorable mention, I didn't have a lot. Me and Max talked off air about this award and how kind of, not problematic, how like contested it's been. Because again, not to, I feel like I talk about him all the time, but Kenny Beecham had a really good point on like MIP can be given to either a rookie who just finished his rookie year and is coming into the second year because that's just.
He said can't.
Yeah, cannot. And that's just like normal growth. So that'd be weird to give it to a second year guy. And also it can't be given to somebody like when John Morant won it, or you know, Tyrese Maxey was in contention. The guy was already averaging like 22 points. And then
it was his first all-star year, but we all saw it coming, right?
Yeah, and then he has a big, really big jump, but like it's not most improved. Most improved should stay to like, you know, the Norman Powells of the world or the Oladipo back in the day when he had the big jump. So I think
Pascal Siakam, shout out.
Yeah, and we try to
greatest, like, most improved player of all time. He almost went back to back, which is insane.
So we wanna keep that guidelines. And my only honorable mention that I kept, I had so many names, but the only honorable mention that I kept was Amen Thompson, who didn't make it for me.
Yeah, he didn't make my list either.
Because I thought it was like, I don't know, I wanted to spice it up a little bit, and I didn't want to,
right.
I think Amen's going to be amazing, and I think everybody knows that he's going to be super improved this year, so I didn't want to go on that. Did you have any honorable mentions?
So the way that I ranked my picks, I have the fan pick,
okay,
the NBA pick,
yeah,
the heart pick, and my actual heart pick.
Okay.
I had, as my honorable mention, Jabari Smith Jr.
Okay.
I know, oh, well, he was third pick. Yeah, but he didn't produce.
Yeah.
Right? And next to KD, starting, I mean, if he can score a bunch of points, right, and if he can show that he's effective, and the narrative hasn't been that he's been a bust, but if he can be, you know, someone that steps up when needed next to Alperen Şengün and KD to be a key contributor, perimeter threat,
like, he's producer, my number three. He's my number three.
There you go.
Because I think kind of the same thing.
I didn't think you would have picked him. So
no, awesome. I mean, you just look at, I saw on Twitter, like, the videos of the shoot around and pregame. Yeah. He's literally tailing KD.
Yeah, glued to him,
like,
as they said.
Glued to him. And every, like, kind of Rockets guy on Twitter is like, yeah, like, Jabari's picking his brain. Jabari wants to, and I think he's locked in. And in preseason, he was maybe the Rocket, like, he was the best looking Rocket. Maybe Operand was a bit better, but
he shot the heck out of that three ball, man.
And I think he's
ready. That was the most unk sentence I've ever said in my life.
And Ime was you know, really giving him his flowers, and he's a for sure starter, so just let him cook. And I think top three in MIP is not crazy.
Nope. At my third pick, I had Shaedon Sharpe.
Mm.
I feel like this is a lot of the NBA fans' heart pick,
yeah,
because all of us want Shaedon Sharpe to be an incredible basketball player. He has all the tools. He just needs a shot to fall. He has the athleticism, like, so amazing. He could be in all NBA conversations once a lot of these big guys start retiring. But who knows, right?
I mean, realistically, for me, the counterpoint that I have is that he averaged 17 points last year, and then he can't get much better than that in within the Trailblazers system.
But if he starts averaging like. Yeah, but the thing is, I agree.
Yeah.
The thing
no, is I agree. He, no, I agree. He'll be improved. Yeah. You know, if he's an improved defender, because
he could average 24 points, and that would be enough for him for the NBA to be like
for sure
most improved.
But I don't think he will. And I think a lot. What I really struggle with this award is that there's a lot of people that I think are going to be improved, but it might not show up in the, you know, in the box score.
Right.
You know, and like there's like, for example, Jabari. I really wanted to put him there, but there's a chance that he still averages like 13 points but it's like it's much more improved because his efficiency is better, but he won't win the award. But I like the Shaedon Sharpe, you know?
Yeah, because it's a good, I think fans want him to be good. I think the NBA wants him to be good. He has all the highlights and everything, but if he can just be a more free,
sure.
Even if he goes from 17 points to 21, but that 21 looks a lot better.
Yeah.
That's enough for, I think, the NBA to say, hey, we should start thinking about this guy. Because historically, this award has been given, you know, like we said, a little strangely.
Yeah. At my number two, I have somebody who you're really going to like. I don't know. Maybe it's White Center's Day today. I don't know. We're giving a lot of love to all of them. I have Jay Huff at my number two.
Whoa.
I think he's the most improved for me.
I didn't have the balls to put him on this list.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to put him first, but I didn't because I kind of got scared. But I mean, his per 36 numbers are incredible. All the stretches he had with Memphis last year where he played so good. And I think on this run and gun Pacers team, just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about Jay Huff and the Pacers. I think it's a no-brainer. He seems to have a predefined role on this Pacers team, which wasn't the case with the Grizzlies. And it's just going to be a really good fit. And most improved isn't out of the question because his counter stats were pretty good last year. And if he can bump that up a little bit, then.
Yeah, because he was in garbage time minutes most of the time. If they can. Yeah. Average something like 14's pushing it, but if he can average like 14 and 9,
yeah. But I also had Andrew Nembhard as a slash, but I didn't want to talk about him anymore. But I wanted to give him some flowers too. As a
number
two.
You had him at two?
No, I a little honorable mention. You know what I mean? I can't pick,
bro. Okay, I'm gonna say my next two picks.
Okay,
this is gonna be surprising, but at two, I have Chet Holmgren.
Wow.
Because he averaged 15 points last year.
Yep.
Right? I think all of us are certain that this guy can be a 22 points per game scorer.
Yeah.
And if anything, if the betting odds show anything, the GM survey shows that people don't believe Shea is going to be an MVP again this year, I don't think he's going to regress. But if you can have more scoring help so Shea doesn't have to score over 30 points a game, every single time, right? And if you can have Chet start knocking down those threes consistently, not so worried about his body anymore, because he played well in the finals, and he played well, but he didn't play how we expect Chet Holmgren to be dominating the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So if Chet can start to breach that 20 points per game, because he averaged 15, if he can start breaching that 20 points per game, I think we have to consider him.
I have a counterpoint.
I have him as the NBA pick, though. That's what, like, when I'm talking about, like, I don't think that... I think he deserves the award. However, I think this is, like, I could see the NBA going, oh, well, look at the production that Chet Holmgren has done.
Well, for me, it's just the reason why I didn't put him in my top three is that OKC won a championship last year, right? Growth, inner growth can happen with these dudes, but it's also, like, why would you mess up something that's working? Everybody's in their own role. Chet doesn't need to be scoring more. I mean, he could, right?
Yeah.
But it can be useful. But I think his production, even if it's the same, will still help the team because you have SGA who doesn't seem to be breaking a sweat when he scores 30, so it's not really a problem, right?
Well, that's true. But
and then you have Jalen, secondary playmaker and also a secondary option, and then just kind of having Chet Holmgren as a third option in that 15 to 18 point range is good.
Yeah, but
I'm saying he'll look improved. I agree with that 100%, but I don't think he can win the award. You know,
that's valid. This is me being pessimistic and saying that they might throw a bone over that way. But however, I mean, 15 points per game, Chet Holmgren, I feel like
in another situation, maybe.
But I don't know. I see him getting a lot of points this year, a lot more than he did last year. That's why I give him. The reason I say I'm going to give my number one is I have Andrew Nembhard as my number one pick.
Straightforward pick,
The consensus. For me, it dawned on me when I looked at his points per game average last year.
10.9. Yeah.
This guy's a bucket. And if anything that I've talked about, when we're looking at this voting, what people like is they like watching the points go from low to
high. Plus 8, plus 9. Yeah.
Is Andrew Nembhard going to be a 20 points per game scorer?
Could be.
Very likely.
Well.
Because they need the scoring without Halliburton. I think you can't put it all on an aging Pascal, even though I think Pascal is going to be fantastic this year. I think it's a no-brainer.
I disagree. I think I was going to put Andrew Nembhard, and I even put him like a little sprinkle of honorable mention, but I actually think he'll kind of stay in that role and that other people will step up around him and you'll just be a facilitator, mainly because of his production without Haliburton, where his averages didn't really change, but his efficiency did. It wavered a lot. And
would it change your opinion that TJ McConnell was currently also injured?
No, it wouldn't. I think scoring wise, like Benedict Mathurin would just step up in that. Siakam,
that's true.
We'll step up around him, and that's why with my number one, I went Denny Avdija.
Yeah, that's also a no-brainer pick.
His counting stats last year were good, but towards the end of the season, he was averaging like 23, 10, and 6. And if Chauncey Billups can just start him, you know, just keep him in that starting lineup and not put, gosh darn, Jeremy Grant. No hate, Jeremy. No hate, Jeremy.
I love you and your friend, your fans from Japan.
Just stay on the darn bench, man. Like, let him cook. Denny Avdija, for me, has a real chance to become the Blazers' number one option this year.
I think he will be.
And lead this team to the playoffs.
That's a great pick.
And I think that's where he'd be most approved.
That's a great pick.
I don't want to spend too much time on that. So it might be a good segue to get into Rookie of the Year. But, okay. We agree to disagree on that one.
I think I would put a lot of money on Andrew Nembhard winning most improved player, because I think he will just average more points.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, hey. I like Denny Avdija. I don't disagree. I like Denny Avdija.
Rookie of the year.
You start. I want you to say all three of your picks, and then I'm gonna say all three of my picks.
I'm pretty boring.
I am too.
I tried not to let my bias play in.
Cooper Flagg's number one for you.
Yeah. I didn't want to put him number one, but I mean,
he's going
to
do it.
One preseason game, and I just, what do you want me to do? Yeah. What do you want me to do?
I think, well, also, he has the most approved as a contributor for all of these teams.
Yeah, it's just, so it sucks. I mean, it doesn't suck. Sorry, oops. I really wanted to be able to put a wizard in there, but couldn't. So I put Dylan Harper as my number three, VJ Edgecombe as my number two, and then Cooper Flagg as my number one.
So actually, I have Cooper Flagg, VJ Edgecombe, but I would say Dylan Harper, except I don't see Dylan Harper getting as many minutes as all of us want him to because of how log-jammed that starting guard rotation is. I have Ace Bailey at number three. That's the only reason we differ. I wrote...
He's my number four.
I wrote best overall next to Cooper Flagg. Then for VJ Edgecombe, He just looks so polished in those preseason games. Yeah. And I know preseason isn't exactly the greatest metric for how a season's going to go.
It's still important.
But he looked so polished. I'm not worried. And Ace Bailey's just going to score a lot of points on bad numbers and be good.
But look, to be fair, he looked way more efficient than I thought.
Yeah, I also think that Utah doesn't care that much about this season being some sort of massive hit. So I think they're just going to be, hey, Ace Bailey, you want to score like 17 points a game on 41% shooting, go ahead.
Yeah. Just to make me feel better, I made a pseudo rookie teams. I had my all rookie first team. I had Cooper Flagg, VJ Edgecombe, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, and Trey Johnson, because I wanted to give some love to Trey Johnson. And then in this second team, I had Carter Bryant, Nick Clifford, Young Hansen, Yegor Demon, and Colin Murray Boyles.
Every single part of me wanted to just say
win, but there's a real chance that he just plays in the G League.
Yeah, it's true. Also, the thing is, I think they're going to start. Okay, I don't want to get into this, like, but a brief side tangent. I think they're going to start Klingon, and I think they're going to play Young Hansen like 15 minutes a game.
I think I watched two or three Blazers game, in like every one of those games, he was the first big off the bench.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I think he will be because they need more.
They're trusting him way more. That's kind of my thing. They're trusting him as a foreign player. They're trusting him so much more than I thought.
I just think he's really great. So,
but not much to say. I mean, obviously the rookies, just tune in. It's going to be also if you want to
watch basketball.
And remember one name, Nick Clifford, will be an all-star in this league if the Kings can just let him play basketball. That's all I'll say.
Shout out.
Yeah. Should we move on to
DPOY
MVP?
Nah, let's do DPOY because we have 5 minutes before the next ad break. So let's
again, do that. Like,
I think okay. Shout outs to me are JJJ and Klingon. I didn't have them on my list is I think they're too low of a seed.
Mm-hmm.
I know that doesn't particularly matter for as much for Defensive Player of the Year, but it does. You need to be a good defense to have that. I think Blazers might have the number one defense, but that's we're like number three because OKC and the Rockets are insane.
Magic.
And the Magic, yes. But I think they're going to be too low of a seed. I think it won't be just because of one player on the Blazers. I think it'll be all.
The collective.
Klingon will be top three in blocks, but and JJJ, I don't trust that he's going to be healthy, and I don't think the Memphis Grizzlies aren't going anywhere, so that's my opinion.
Also, wanted to give some love to the guards.
Give some guard love.
It's such a big dominated award that I wanted to give some love to the guards. Chris Dunn, who has been
absolutely
a steady defensive production. Absolutely. But obviously, Marcus Smart won it, and that was kind of an outlier, so I just wanted to give some love.
Love
and
Chris Dunn.
Also, Alex Caruso. Who probably will never be considered a DPOY, but still such a great player. Who's your number three?
Dyson Daniels.
Wow.
I think he was tied for first last year.
He was top two.
He was top two. I think it was just because we were so shocked about Dyson Daniels being 100%. Dyson Daniels. What they call him, the Great Barrier Thief.
Love that
hard name. Except we're killing our coral reefs. So.
And he's trying to defend it.
He's trying to defend it, bro. But Dyson Daniels at my three, no-brainer. He's going to get a bunch of steals, and I think he's going to be way more effective because the Hawks are really good, so he can focus on just being that lockdown defender. And
when you have a better defensive unit, it's easier to be a better individual defender.
Yes. I'm just going to run through mine. Mobley's my two.
Okay.
I think it goes without saying he won it last year. I think he's going to be great. He's going to get a bunch of blocks. Cavs are going to be maybe the number one seed, maybe the two seed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Straightforward.
And without question,
Let's not even talk about it, bro.
Without question, the second half of French Vanilla.
Yeah.
Victor Wembanyama.
Wembanyama! obviously. I mean, as everybody's been saying, Wemby just steps on the court and he wins DPOY. Yeah. And he looks like a different beast this year.
He led the league in blocks without playing the last, 30 games.
In total blocks. I have Wemby at my one. Maybe call me frustrated. I don't know. I hate straightforward picks, so I don't have Mobley in my top three.
But that's okay. It's not okay, but
I know. I put Amen Thompson as my number two.
Yeah,
I think there's going to be so much light on him this year. And I think he's just going to rise above everything. He's such a great defender already. The advanced stats just love him, and he's definitely going to start. I think it's the beginning of him getting love in that award.
Right.
And a long battle, which I hope will be a long battle with Wemby, who's going to win it every year.
Yes.
And then my number three is Tumani Kamara.
I flip-flop between Tumani Kamara and Dyson Daniels.
He just got paid. And maybe it's voters fatigue that will help me in my pick, but Tumani Kamara deserves a top three selection.
Absolutely.
He's so underrated. And if we're going in the same theme that the Blazers are going to be under, big, bright lights this year, then awards also come with that.
Yeah, I agree. The only caveat I have to that is I don't think it, like I said, I think the same thing with Klingon is I would have him in my top three if I didn't think that it would be a collective effort on defense, right? I think it's going to be split a lot of ways, too. They even have Matisse Thybulle. However, and if you look at his headshot this year, bro is so unked out. He looks like when Tim Duncan retired.
God.
But he's still playing.
God. Where is Tim Duncan?
Who knows?
God.
Right?
If you're listening to me.
If you're listening to me, we love you, bro.
I miss your bank shots, man.
I miss the bank shots, bro.
I miss it. No, but yeah, but Wemby is going to.
Yeah, he's just going to.
I have to rename the damn award. Yeah. I'm sorry. They might have to rename that whole award.
I think they might have to.
Hey, just give it to him already in his pocket.
What we're going to do now is we're going to go to ad break.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about MVP and our selections for all NBA first, second, and third team.
Enjoy the ads.
Enjoy the ads.
Dust off your boots, pour some sweet tea, and tune in to the freshest of folk, roots, indie, and more, along with some favorites of the past. The best of old and new meet together in The Alley every Friday at 11 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM.
dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Welcome back to Death of the Midrange.
Death of the Midrange.
Midrange. I'm your host, Maximilian Calnescu.
And I'm Libastico Lagiello. And if
you're just tuning in, we did all the awards. You missed them. You missed all of them.
Again, why are you late? I know it's Monday, but come on, let's get out of bed. Let's go.
The alarm went off an hour ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ain't wake up.
And well, an hour ago, it's 9:45. Yeah, 15 minutes to wake up and scroll through reels.
We said we'd be calm today. And if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you must be really confused.
Right. Yeah.
That's the joke we're making. Just sit back, man. Chill out. Chill out. We about to do some MVP.
My fault, gang. Yeah, you didn't miss all of them. We're doing MVP.
MVPs.
I'm going to let you go.
The award, right?
The award.
Who doesn't want to be the MVP? I want to be the MVP.
Absolutely.
I know I'm the MVP in my mama's life. Shout out to you, mama. I know I'm number one. Uncontested.
Shout out to you, mama.
21
mama.
Years in a row. I want to rebel a little bit, but I didn't rebel that much. My top three is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, give me the full top three.
My number three is Paolo Banchero. It's the year. I don't care what anybody says. Again, if we are keeping with the same...
I don't want to rebel and bro picks Paolo at three.
I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, if we want to stay consistent with our picks, if the Magic are number three. Right, they're number three seed in the East.
Fair point.
Paolo Banchero has been putting incredible stats. If you're not tuning in, it's like up north of like right below 30 points.
And I picked Derek White over him in fantasy last night.
Insane. Damn. Like and it's just he's such a good player, and it's a huge year for the Magic, and it comes with Paolo kind of taking that step to be an MVP. Right, it just goes hand in hand for me. And so for me, it's a no brainer to have him at number three.
You know what? That's very respectable. I that's a good push on the norms, like yeah. Define the norms. I don't disagree.
I don't think it's crazy either.
But I don't think he's gonna be third. But I don't disagree with the argument.
With my number two pick, I have Nikola Jokic.
This is interesting now.
Pretty straightforward pick. Yeah. I didn't want to pick him, but listen, it's Nikola Jokic. He should win it every year technically.
Yes.
And
I think that's what I was talking to my godmother. She goes, I'm going to pick Nikola Jokic as the MVP every year until he proves me otherwise.
That's probably the most logical thinking I've ever heard. Yep. And it's
shout out Big Honey.
And shout out to you.
Big Honey is Jokic's nickname.
Oh, I thought it was
my godmother as Big Honey.
And also, again, it comes hand in hand. If the Nuggets are having this kind of revamp year and they have a big year with their bench and everything, I think it also goes hand in hand. The only thing that I had, the only knock was voter's fatigue, and maybe the fact that if it goes really well with Jonas Valanciunas, I don't think Jokic is going to mind sitting on the bench for a little bit longer.
That's a really good point.
You know
point.
What I'm saying? Yeah. And doing a bit
That's
less.
That's a really good point.
Of the 2025-2026 Kia MVP. No, I didn't want to say Kia, sorry. Just NBA MVP. Is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Wow.
For me, there's two sides of it. If I'm Giannis, I really want to prove to everybody that I'm that guy. For the past 3 years, he's averaged 30 points, 6 assists, and 12 rebounds, and somehow hasn't won an MVP. It's insane to me.
Yep.
He's stopped shooting threes. He's in the paint. He's being so dominant. I mean, he's Giannis. You guys know who he is. The only thing is that if he gets traded, right, or if there's talk about him getting traded, he might play less. He might be less interested in that team. And also the problem, his team is bad.
Buns.
And he might even get discouraged himself.
When your bench is like Amir Coffey.
He's kind of good, actually.
But I love Amir Coffey, but yeah. Bro.
I think this is the year where Giannis, I think they give it to Giannis. It's kind of the same top three every year, isn't it?
That's a good point. However, I put him and Wemby in my honorable mention. Because I think they're too low of a seed. I don't think they're going to be high enough of a seed.
That was also my other point where like they might not win enough games.
No, because I don't, and I'm not Kendrick Perkins. I don't have the Bucks as the fourth seed. But
go ahead. Who's your top three?
At my number three, I'd stuck pretty to the, you know, I'm going to be the more diplomatic one of the two of us. I put Shea at three. Voter fatigue, I think, is going to be a thing. I also wrote his numbers might dip because I think Chet is going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. Also, wear and tear from the NBA championship.
No, for sure.
I mean, Shea can easily... He's shown that he can be an Iron Man, but if you know we start to see some fatigue, I wouldn't be surprised if they want to start resting him because they know that OKC is going to make a deep playoff push.
He also has a crazy like injury history.
Yes, exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised if he slows down a bit just so that he can maintain health so that he can go and be an NBA championship again, an NBA champion again. At my two, I have...
Yeah.
And I think that's... It's, we always have Luka like, oh my God, he's going to win MVP. He's going to win MVP. He's going to win MVP.
Could this be the year?
Could this be the year? He's, I mean, I'm buying into skinny Luka. I think he can play a lot of games.
Such a trend.
And, but the thing is, I put his stat line that I think he's going to have. I think he's going to have over 32 points.
Jeez.
8 rebounds and 11 assists.
Jeez.
There's a lot of like, and I see it being possible because LeBron's got sciatica, the unk.
Agitating my sciatica.
He's not going to be playing as many games.
Yeah.
And I think Luka has a lot of pieces around him that are just going to score a bunch of points and his numbers are going to look great. Right? And so that's why I have him there. I also think he's going to be a team lifter.
Are the Lakers going to win enough games?
I think they'll be the fifth seed. So I think it'll be like a bit of a stretch. That's why I have him at my two. And number one, I have Nikola Jokic. I said second best team in the West. He will be an assist machine. I see him averaging 12 assists a game. Yeah. He's got so much more talent around him. If he's going to get a triple-double again this year, he might break the record next year for the most triple-doubles. And this season, he has the ability to have so many more assists because he has a lot better depth around him, and it will make him look so much better. If we know anything about Nikola Jokic, is that when the team, if the team is even decent around him, they will go and win a championship.
No, for sure. But it, kind of in that same conversation, can we give some love to Alperen Şengün?
As MVP dark horse,
for sure, for sure. I think he deserves it. He's gonna be in that category with Jokic, and he's they call him the baby Jokic, but he's coming. And I'm telling you, he is gonna be the Rockets.
Them young boys.
They're coming hard.
No pause.
And I think he's going to be the Rockets' most impactful player. And I'm not scared to put him as an honorable mention because I think he's trending towards
that. Yeah, I think he'll be like eighth in voting.
Yeah.
I think that's a good shout out.
Yeah.
On that note, we'll just quickly, we have 8 minutes here. Let's go the 18s. We essentially set our first team.
And thank you for still being with us.
And thank you for still being with us. It's been so nice.
I guess we differ a little bit on the first team then.
Yep. I have Jokic, Wemby, Shea, Luka, Giannis.
I have Jokic, Luka, Wemby, Giannis, and then Banchero.
Right.
Because usually what we try to do...
Do you have Shea on the second team?
Yeah. What we try to do, as not to be problematic like the NBA, is that our top five in MVP is also our top five in the All-NBA since there's no more position restriction.
Yes.
Which makes a lot of sense. And then... I kind of had some fun with the second and third team.
I had a lot of fun with the
Do you want to go? Team. Second team?
So the second team, I think it's pretty obvious. This is the first time I think LeBron is not going to make an All-NBA team.
Yeah, me too.
I have Ant, Steph, KD, Cade Mitchell. I think Cade will absolutely... Like, I struggle to not have him higher.
Yeah.
Because I think Cade, if anything, will prove to us... Maybe it's just that layup that he... I think he's just going to be a machine this year. Way more polished. The Detroit Pistons are going to be great. I think this is a very... I looked at it as like, all right, who else could average 30?
Yeah, but it's also MVP contention for him.
Yep. And I realizing I maybe should have put Paolo on the third team because I have him so high. But the thing is, I actually, now that I'm looking, I'm going to say my third team. I have Harden, Brunson, Kat, Booker, Siakam. Booker could be Banchero.
Yeah.
It should be Banchero, actually, now that I'm looking at it. Harden's a bit of a hard pick, no pun intended, but he's just going to average like 12 assists, and it's going to be hard to overlook him as that. He played, like you said yesterday, he played 79 games.
And he made all NBA 13 last year.
Yeah, I think he can do it again.
And the Clippers got better. I kind of differ. My second team... I have Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Ant-Man, Alperen, Evan Mobley, and Cade Cunningham.
No KD.
No KD. I think KD's gonna take it, not us backseat, but I think he's gonna let these young boys kind of rock, and he'll just be there to provide that scoring. Not saying that KD won't average like 27 points or whatever, but I think these other guys need love too.
And, I think it's good to shout out Sangoon on the second team.
And like we said in the Metro today, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I really don't think there's a wrong answer. The league is so talented that it won't matter at the end of the day.
Yep.
And then on my third team, I have Jalen Brunson, straightforward pick. Donovan Mitchell, straightforward pick.
Yep.
Kevin Durant, straightforward pick. Tyrese Maxey.
That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
So durable. Had a great year last year.
Yeah, if he's the most durable person on the Sixers, it's his award.
And he would have made an All-NBA team last year if he hadn't gotten injured and if the Sixers won a bit more games. And then with my last pick, I have LaMelo Ball. Shoot me if you want. I don't care.
You think he's going to play 65 games?
I don't care. You guys want to buy into Skinny Luka? Go ahead. You want to buy and quote-unquote healthy Zion? Go ahead. You know who I'm rocking with? I'm rocking with the Ball brothers. LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball deserves love. And
he
I'm not giving up.
He hasn't proven to me that he's going to be healthy. He just got more tattoos.
He is a 6'7 guard who has been getting in the paint way more, who can shoot the most incredible threes, who has the passing vision.
All of us see it.
Flair. I'm not giving up. This is the year where the Hornets, damn it, the Hornets are going to be competitive this year. And there are
65 games of LaMelo Ball.
He's gonna be healthy.
65 games of LaMelo Ball.
You just gotta stop wearing Pumas, bro.
Yeah, he's gotta stop wearing those trash shoes. And
go back to the BO2s. If you know, you know.
He ain't putting
big
on
big baller brand.
Absolutely not, bro.
I just wanted to give him love.
No, I agree. I in my honorable mentions, I put Sabonis. He's just injured, and I don't think he's gonna play enough games.
And the Kings suck. I'm sorry, but the Kings.
The thing
suck.
Is, he's gonna be great. So.
Also, it's Monday. October 20th, is on an NBA roster.
Russell Westbrook is on an NBA roster.
On the Sacramento Kings. And when asked if he was going to retire next year, he said, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's my dog.
I love him. Russell Westbrook is one of my top three favorite players of all time.
Yeah, me too. I just, well, maybe not top three, but I love him. Love him to death. And I think
you have him as an honorable
mention. Hey, I was going to have him as an honorable mention on my six-man list, but then I saw that his contract was non-guaranteed.
Right.
So I was like, well, he could get chopped at any point.
Yes. also, as an honorable mention, obviously LeBron. He's not going to play because he has sciatica, and he's probably going to play like 50 games this season.
Yeah. You got to load manage him as well.
And I also put Cam Thomas as a joke. Damn. Well, not as a joke, but he could easily average 26 points per game.
No Brooklyn Nets for me.
Right?
No Brooklyn
Nets for me. And Michael Porter Jr. could average like 22.
Yeah,
right?
At the end, it won't matter. I mean, Bradley Beal used to make any team when he was averaging 30 on a bad team. So.
Yeah, but Cam Thomas is kind of hilarious, so... I thought it's not like he's not worthy of the shout out. It's more just like, could he average like 20? He averaged 24 last season. Can he average like 28? Probably.
Hey, wait, we'll see.
With zero assists.
It's NBA week this week. I'm so excited. We're going to get to see all these teams finally roll out into the NBA season. Like I said, a lot of my idols are retiring in different sports, tennis.
Your idol already retired.
No, I know. Like John Wall, and then my favorite tennis player is retiring next year. And my favorite, Gab Monfils, is retiring. And one of my favorite soccer players is also retiring. And it's like, for real, I'm saying this like that. Like
respect your elders.
Yeah, no. And you got to really enjoy your legends, because when all these dudes are going to leave, man, we gonna be really, really sad.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird NBA, because I think we're going to see, the Golden State Warriors, when that team retires, they're 37, right?
They're going to be nobody in the locker room.
Yeah.
But we'll be happy to catch you next week. We'll if you don't have time to tune in to basketball this week, we got you. We got you next Monday right here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be talking a lot about just kind of our first impressions of the NBA. A lot of buzz and news and who looks good, who doesn't.
We just got to let it rock.
My question with a minute left here. Actually, never mind. I was going to say Reed Shepherd ?
Starter.
Yeah. Is he? I don't know.
Let's not get into that conversation.
I picked him in fantasy and I regretted it instantly.
Well, hopefully he rocks. Hey, I also want to give a special birthday shout out to my dog, Alexi.
Alexi.
Happy 21st. Big dog, thank you for tuning in. On this week's episode of Death to the Mid-Range.
Death to the Mid-Range.
We will catch you next week.
We still have like...
Damn, I did it 40, too early.
40 seconds.
Damn, you should have told me. I just lost so much aura, bro.
So like... No. There's still like 30 seconds left.
That's what happens.
Wait, oh yeah, hold up. shout out mamas.
Yeah.
Shout out mamas.
That's what we gonna do.
You know? I'm glad.
It's crazy. I'm sorry I did that. That's, you know, that's what happens when you go live, man.
This happens when you go live, man.
Anything can happen.
All right. I love y'all. This has been Maximilian Kalanet.
Liba Siko La Jalo. Have a good week.
Have a good week, guys.
Bye.
We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong.